Like Call It What You Want, which we know is your favorite podcast about the beautiful game, Vuori is committed to delivering a great experience for everyone, which is highlighted by their new perspective on performance apparel. Everything is designed to work out in, but doesn't look or feel like it. In fact, I'm rocking their Stratotech polo right now, along with their Sunday performance jogger pants, so I can be business on top when I'm on camera, but super comfortable on the bottom. And it's just the best. Vuori gear is incredibly versatile, and it can be used for just about any activity. Running, training, swimming, lounging around, hosting podcasts, doing errands, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. And for our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/call it. That's Vuori.com/call it. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/call it and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Hello and welcome to your favorite Average to Good podcast. Call it what you want. I'm Jimmy Conrad alongside Jesse Marshmallow Marsh and Charlie Chuckwagon Davies. And we have a great show for you today, like always. And we're going to talk Europa League because we have a couple Americans that are were still in the competition. A little U.S. Open Cup, third round recap. Then we'll get into Americans abroad. Got some big games this weekend. And we'll get into the 2025 Club World Cup that's coming to American shores that summer. A lot tournaments coming to the American shores. But first, it's the Call What You Want word of the day. You guys ready for this?
Of course.
Boy,
of
course. Am I ready.
Of course.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. So here's the word. Okay. And this is in honor of Tony Miola, who had a great episode on Kicking It. Okay. The Sports Emmy nominated, and hopefully they win Kicking It series. And Chuck, it was a fantastic interview with Tony. We're doing goalkeeper. Okay. And so I need to know, that's the word.
Okay.
Where is this? When I say the word, where is it from? What language, what country, whatever you guys want to go with. It's, you ready? You ready? Here it goes. Malavati. Yes. Malavati.
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 I said it right this time. Malavati.
Okay. I have two, I have two countries in my
Malavati.
Mind.
Malavati.
Okay. You want tips? Are you just going to go for it blind, or you want
no?
Some
let's
clues?
Go. Let's take it. Let's take a stab. Let's each take a stab. I'll let you go first because you haven't won in like months.
Okay,
go ahead, Chuck.
Malavati. I'm going to go with Lithuania.
Ooh, it's not bad,
Jesse.
Not bad. I'm going India. I'm going India. I knew a good Indian Malavati, and then. Yeah.
Okay. It's not a dish that you can serve with some rice and nuts.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was thinking
a player
food.
Of this nationality. Food. A player of this nationality was one of only two non-Dutch players in Ajax's starting 11 for the 1995 Champions League final.
Suriname. No.
Okay. Good guess. Nope, that's Jesse. Out. Okay. Please repeat the clue. One of the only
a
two
player
in
of this
19-
nationality was only. Yes, 1995 Champions League final. for Ajax. They're starting 11 for the Champions League.
So that was like, that was Kluivert. Yeah, Kluivert scored, didn't he? In 1995, I'm going to go with Ivory Coast. No, because that's
yeah. Okay, you guys are wrong on that. Guess. That round is terrible wrong. Guess. Hopefully, everybody playing at home's already got this. But if you haven't, next clue: the most successful team in this country's top division is HJK.
Oh, Finland. Got it.
Wait, who said it first?
Finland.
That was me, dude. That was 100% Finland. Charlie, 1,000%. Please. We will go back. I said Finland.
We might need to rewind this one back. We need a VAR here.
We're going to have to VAR.
We need to check the table.
100%. Oh, jeez. I mean, there's
Helsinki.
No.
Yes.
Of course. Yes. Finland.
I 100% took that.
Thank you again. Say the player is Jari Litmanen is the player.
Jari Litmanen. That's right. Exactly right. So the producers saying that was a tiebreaker and Jesse
wins. I got Alexa too.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Okay. Let's get into it. Let's talk about our first topic, boys. Roma versus AC Milan, second leg of the Europa League quarterfinals. Two Americans starting this one, Christian Pulisic and Yunus Musa. Down 1-0 going into the second leg in Rome, and they ended up losing, unfortunately, 2-1, so they're out 3-1 over aggregates. Both of the players got subbed out at the same time around the 70th minutes, so a double American sub from Stefano Pioli. Jesse, we talked a little bit before the show started. Pretty underwhelming performance, not only from Milan, but potentially our Americans as well.
Well, from Milan, a terrible match. Like, from the start, Roma was all over the match. And, you know, I mean, listen, it can sometimes work that way where it's a big game, you're really excited, you don't have the start that you want, but you've got to have the resolve and discipline in the team to stay after the game and keep pushing and go after it. And it was almost even after, okay, Milan had like 20 corner kicks and they were in the end, but man, it was a messy performance. Players all over the pitch, trying their own things, look like 11 individuals. Really, I mean, disappointing for Milan in such a big moment to have a performance like that. So, but it also for me highlights that Rome is in a really good way. And you know, I don't think De Rossi's done anything that sophisticated in terms of the tactics and the football that they're really trying to play, other than they look organized defensively and they look confident on the ball. And right now that's meant that they've had a lot of good results. They've made a run in this tournament, and now they play Leverkusen next, which I think right now in world football, the two teams that are really interesting to watch are Rome and Leverkusen. So that'll be a really good matchup. But and then in terms of Pulisic and Musa, I thought it wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. You see that they're trying to do the right things and trying to help the team, but it was just a mess today. And it's hard to say that they had good performances. Anyone on the team had a good performance. I mean, even the moment when the goalkeeper from Milan, Mignon, traps the long ball and traps it out of bounds, right? Like, this was the perfect moment for this performance. It was just a day where nothing went right for Milan and everything went right for Rome. So other than maybe Lukaku getting hurt, obviously that's not a great moment for Milan. But what they're in a really good way. It'll be fun to watch as they continue to move on through this tournament.
Chuck, let's talk about Stefano Pioli's starting 11, because I feel like there was or could be an argument to be had about him having Christian Pulisic in the 10 spot and bringing Chukwueze on a little bit earlier and having Leao, Pulisic, Chukwueze, and Giroud as your front four. They had success with that against Lecce, 10 days ago? And I wondered why we didn't see that really at any point, because I feel like it could have changed, or if they started that way, it could have changed how the game got played out.
Well, we did see a big change. I mean, Roma took the red card in the 31st minute when Celik tackled a rough tackle on Leao, and Leao was lucky to escape injury. But he made a sub right away with Ismail Benacer. He took him off and brought Luka Jovic on, which that's when you can make the argument, is that the right player to bring on in that situation? Maybe it's a Chukwueze instead of a Luka Jovic in that situation. When you have Olivier Giroud as your striker, you don't need two of more or less a similar nine, where Chukwueze, you need players who are creative and can stretch the back line. So I think that's where Pioli might have gotten it wrong. And then, you know, just starting Loftus-Cheek as the 10 and Bonasera with Musa, you can always make that argument. Is that the right trio in the midfield? But I'm going to back what Jesse said, that the Musa and Pulisic just didn't have great nights. And that, I think coming into it, all eyes were on Christian to be the game changer, obviously with Rafa Leão being the best player on the team. But Christian Pulisic has really stood out this season. And I think to have an American as a player highlighted as a game changer, someone who can win the tie for Milan, was, it's a lot of pressure to hold, especially when you're talking about the weight of the badge. And tonight, just, I think Roma made it super difficult to play. They were physical, and when they went down a man, they even tightened it more. So there was no room for really Christian Pulisic to move in and out of the midfield in those little half spaces. So it's just one of those nights where you go, damn, I just never really got going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I think about Christian Pulisic, 3 goals and 1 assist in all of Europe this season. The 1 goal was against Newcastle in the Champions League group stages, and then 2 goals and an assist once they dropped down into the Europa League. With regarding Yunus Musa, there's obviously been some conversation about Yunus Musa not involved at all in leg one, gets to start leg two. But if you look back on how Pioli was using Musa, he actually started him in all the Champions League away games and in the 2 Europa League away games against Rennes and Slavia Prague. And that's, I guess, I don't know, superstition, or maybe just thought it was a better fit, a goal down, and that he could, with that ball progression, dribbling through midfield, could provide a different dynamic in the midfield for Milan, and obviously trying to make Roma counter in a different way. But Jesse, it just felt like none of the tactics that Pioli has been employing recently, because they're not that great a run of form, are really working right now. And to your point, Roma's looking fantastic. How does Milan salvage the rest of the season? Because on Monday, they're taking on Inter in the Milan derby. And if Inter win that, then they win the Scudetto. So you don't want to lose to your biggest rivals and let them, you know, win the trophy, league trophy in that game. They have nothing else to play for. They're not in the Coppa Italia anymore. They're really just fighting to get second. You know, where does Milan go from here?
Well, I think immediately they have to turn their attention to Monday, because the last thing they want is their rivals, Inter Milan, to win the title in San Siro against them. Like, that's obviously, they do not want to see this. So this becomes a huge match for them, because they're already qualified for Champions League. Given the results in Europe, now Italy has 5 spots, so there's no way that AC Milan can drop below. So they're already qualified for Champions League for next year. So that's still an achievement. But, you know, you're right. They're out of this. They're out of the Coppa Italia. They're now out of Europa League. You know, the best thing they can do right now is prevent Inter from winning it at home and still give them a chance to win the title, although obviously they're far off at this point. And I have to also say, I mean, England, the Premier League, was one late goal from Villa and a penalty shootout away from not having any team in Champions League, Europa League, or Conference League semifinals. Think about that. Think about the disappointment for the teams from England this year in Europe. Incredible, incredible. And so, I mean, says Germany's got 2 teams in the Champions League. Some of the Italian teams, Roma's done well. There's good performances across from a lot of the different leagues right now, other than the Premier League, which I don't think anyone would have expected before the season started.
Yeah, pretty remarkable, and a lot to talk about, a lot to unpack, I think, with the English clubs struggling in Europe this particular season. Now, Chuck, final thought on this subject. Stefano Pioli, the manager of AC Milan, if you look at where they were 32 games into the league season in Italy last year, they're actually 12 points ahead of that, but they crash out of the Champions League, kind of listless performance over 2 legs against a familiar opponent in Roma, who they've beaten twice in the league so far this season. Do you retain Pioli, or are you looking for maybe Milan looking to do something else because their standards are starting to resurge to higher levels?
Yeah, this is one of those things where you don't just sack Pioli to sack Pioli. If there was a manager out there that wanted to come to Milan that made sense, that could take this group to the next level and in terms of tactically having a game plan to get Rafa Leão more involved and not have him just hanging out in the wing. Olivier Giroud, who will be probably departing for LA Galaxy, getting us bringing in a top goal scorer.
It's, LAFC, it's, actually.
What did I say?
LA team.
Did
LA
I say
Galaxy.
Oh, sorry. LAFC.
You did.
I think that this is a very this group has a lot of potential. So when I look at Milan, it's obviously an incredible club, a brilliant destination. But what manager would you, if you told me I could get De Zerbi and take out Pioli, then I would go out and get De Zerbi.
You know, I
Carlo Ancelotti, maybe he comes back to Milan. Maybe Jesse Marsh is not busy.
Yeah, oh, if Jesse podcast. Marsh is available, I'm giving him a call.
I'll take that conversation. I'll take that conversation. I will say this. And looking at Pioli late in the match when the game is a mess and the players are running all over the place and Leao's waving his arms and there's no real structure to what's going on, you could sense his frustration, right? You could sense the 100%. Fact that he was disappointed in the way that the team performed in this match. And you know, I mean, that's for me, you can always accept losing if you feel like your team is organized, giving its all, doesn't back down. And, you know, that's part of life is like in big moments, you want your team to be able to respond. And for me, it's more important that they're present, that they're there, that they're organized, that they're going for the game in all the right ways. And for me, watching that game, I felt for Pioli because it just was a mess. So, the second half was a mess.
So Jesse, you're a manager. You see the Milan team; they're underperforming. Your quote unquote best player is largely ineffective and not involved. Do you move him centrally? What would you do to get Leão going? What would you do to get Christian Pulisic more space? Or, you know, what would you change the formation, or is it just putting them higher up the pitch?
Listen, I thought earlier in the year when I was in the stadium and I was at some of the Champions League matches and watching some of the Serie A matches, I thought they were in a good way. Like they were organized. They had some good ideas with the ball. They were aggressive against the ball. They were more aggressive in transition. And I don't know if it's that they've played so many games and they've often used kind of the same group in every game, except for, you know, maybe they rotate someone in the middle, one of the middle three a little bit. They've done some rotation there. And I don't know. There's something stale happening within the team. And then if you start to feel that as a manager, I do think you have to find a way to mix some things up. And maybe it's personnel, maybe it's formation, but you have to like recharge the group in a way that makes them understand how they can still achieve some big goals together. And again, like it has, you're right. I agree. It has looked like it's deteriorated a little bit. And certainly tonight when they're, you know so much about players and people and teams that when it gets tough, that they crumble, right? Because this business for me is all about when it's tough, that you're strong, that you stick together. And even if you go down swinging. And that certainly was not a performance to go down swinging.
I look at some of the top managers, right? Like the top five managers of this season, right? If you look at Luis Enrique, Michel, Sebastian Hoeneß with Stuttgart, you know, there are managers who have overperformed and stood out. You know, you look at Xabi Alonso, right? Who in your mind would be a good fit? Like Unai Emery is another one. Aston Villa. Surely Milan would be interested in trying to get Unai Emery to leave Aston Villa, even if Aston Villa makes the Champions League. Is there a manager that you think would fit Milan best?
Listen, I don't think many managers are leaving the Premier League to go to the Serie A, okay? De Zerbi, I don't think is going as big a club as AC Milan is. De Zerbi is either going to Man U, Liverpool, Real Madrid, Barcelona. Like he's so, you know, these kind of managers that you're mentioning, they're looking up at the possibilities of some big jobs. you know, you could look around Italy and say, okay, are there some young managers that have done well and performed well, and are they ready? This is a little bit how Pioli arrived there. There is a little bit of a carousel in Italy, right? Like the classic Italian managers that have been from place to place, and they've managed several different clubs. So the one thing about AC Milan that I like is it's an international roster. So I think you don't have to play classic Italian football. I think you could be a little bit more aggressive. I think you could hire an international coach, and you could test the waters to see, can we create a style of play that's a little bit more aggressive, and see if we can now look to dominate the league a little bit more, because I do think they have a good roster. And I think if they played a little bit more dynamic, they could have more success.
Yeah, big question, obviously, because whoever comes in or if Pioli stays, the futures of Christian Pulisic, who he looks okay. They obviously extended his contract by a year, but Yunus Musa, there's been some rumors about him going out on loan in the future. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Julian Lopetegui actually is the name that has been thrown out there to replace Pioli as well.
But I also think Pioli is a good manager. Right. And actually, when I was around the team during Champions League, you could see that the team spirit was good. The guys liked being in the team. They liked playing for the manager. You know, it's just a shame that it's kind of disintegrated a little bit as the season's gone on.
So you tell me there's a chance Musa could go to the Olympics.
That would be something. I would be all for that.
Maybe.
By the way.
Maybe. Maybe.
And he wouldn't even be an overage, which makes it even better. Yeah. All right, we're going to take our first break and call what you want. When we come back, we got a little Open Cup news on the other side. So don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Call What You Want. I'm Jimmy alongside Jesse and Chuck. And one of our favorite average to good competitions out there, the U.S. Open Cup, just concluded their third rounds. We had a whole bunch of midweek fixtures. Let's take a look at a few of those now. Charlotte Independence. Rhode Island, 4-4. That went into penalties. Charlotte goes through. New Mexico United, big 3-1 win over Lubbock. I should mention there's no more amateur teams. They are out. So El Farolito had the 1-0 lead. They had the 1-0 lead, and they ended up losing in extra time. They got a red card. That didn't help their cause at all. The Oakland Roots USL Championship team ends up getting by them 2-1. Detroit City, 1-0 over Michigan Stars. A little Michigan derby there. Louisville, 3-1 over Greenville. And a couple more notable results. Monterey Bay, I think, is an interesting one because they're going to take on the Sac Republic in the next round. A couple Bay Area derbies once we end up seeing the round of 32. But 8 MLS teams and 8 USL Championship teams enter into the competition now. And that makes things a little spicy. So, Jesse, I don't know I don't know if you've seen the draw yet or not, but two that stand out for me. Sac Republic, as I mentioned, against Monterey Bay. That's a Bay Area derby. San Jose Earthquakes taking on the Oakland Roots. Also a Bay Area derby. I'm going to have to probably go or try to go to one or both of those, though I think they're kicking off at the same time. Any other ones that stand out for you, Jesse, Chuck?
I mean, there's no Milwaukee team. What's up with that? We need a Milwaukee team in there. Yeah, something like that. I guess we'll go. I'll go Detroit City. Detroit City. That's the closest. I'm going. I'll keep track
against
of that.
It's the Dynamo.
All right.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. That'll be a good one.
I mean, it is remarkable.
Detroit City actually take on the Houston Dynamo, who are the reigning champs.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I mean, it's remarkable how many teams there are now, right? And divisions, and it's amazing to see how far the game has come and how much people love the sport. And so that's pretty cool. It's just fun. Even speaking to our main man, Santiago from El Farolito, and sadly – They lost again, and I'm sure that hurt him because he was really looking forward to that match. But yeah, it was exciting. I liked talking to him, and I liked hearing his perspective. And like you can tell, just people love the sport, you know. And so that's great to see.
So now that the Open Cup has changed a little bit, Chuck, in terms of the teams that have entered. Mm-hmm. For instance, Inter Miami, who made the final and lost to the Houston Dynamo last season, not in it this time around. It feels like it's pretty wide open that there could be a USL championship team that could make a run here. Now, last year, there were only two USL championship teams in the quarterfinals, and then it was all MLS from that point forward. Are you liking any of these USL championship teams?
I actually would love for a USL championship team to win the trophy because, I mean, for me, they're invested in the growth of the game, right? They're invested in just enjoying soccer. And this is a competition that's so important to them. And they're putting their heart and soul into it. And so I feel that, man, it's the perfect situation for finally a USL team to win the trophy. And you know how much it would mean to them. This is like a World Cup trophy for a USL team. So I'm rooting for them. I mean, there's only one MLS affiliate team standing, and that's New York City FC too. So it feels like this is the year of USL. And then hopefully MLS goes, oh, we all need to be in it. We all need to be in this competition and how important it is for just the growth of the game in this country. So I'm also going to be looking at Danny Cruz's Louisville City versus Seattle Sounders. I know, you know, Danny Cruz is really doing a tremendous job coaching at Louisville City. Young coach, he's making strides in his profession. I could see him coaching in MLS in the near future. So I'm happy that he's doing well, and you know he's really a progressive coach, trying to get his team to properly play and understand the game. And man, it's a good challenge with the Seattle Sounders.
Have either of you guys played in the USL for a USL team?
I played in the A League. For 1 year okay. After college, I played for the San Diego okay. Flash, and it was a tremendous experience for me because had I been drafted into MLS right away, I would have watched other players play. I probably wasn't ready to be, I know I wasn't ready to be a consistent contributor, but at that level, I got 30 games in 6 months. And not only that, we got to play against Toluca and Necaxa and Tijuana, and we got these great friendlies. And you got a little taste of what Mexican football looks like because, as you mentioned before, a lot is just there's a different style of play with how the Mexican league likes to conduct themselves. And I learned that plenty of times, whether it was the national team level or when I got to play in the CONCACAF champion stuff when I was with San Jose in particular. And so it was a real nice introduction to learning how to become a pro. So it was a nice stepping stone for me in particular. And I'm hopeful kind of that USL championship will break through and end up winning this competition. And so my question to you, Jesse, is if that happens, do you think MLS will blink an eye and start to give it more attention, or are they just kind of over it now and it's all leagues cut from here? Like what's your overall vibe on how MLS is approaching this?
They don't care.
As we get deeper.
They don't care. I think they're all in on Leagues Cup and they think that's where the money is, that's where the attention to the game is, and that's where the game can evolve. Maybe they're right. Maybe, you know, that there's potential that from a marketing perspective and from an interest perspective and money perspective, maybe they're right on all of those accounts. They probably are. I'm sure they've done their research. But for us, right, fans, players, all, we still value the Open Cup. And when you've won that tournament, when you've participated in it, when you have the experience of either being the David or the Goliath, you know what that means and how important that is to the sport around the world and in our own country. So it's sad. Yeah. And I mean, listen, Jimmy, I played on USL teams too. That was my first year as a developmental player in DC United. I would go down to Hampton Roads Mariners is what it was called. And I was a striker back then. I might've been fast back then. I wasn't.
I'm not going to believe that.
Yeah, I was right fast. Now. And that's where Conradinho started, was back in San Diego, you know? So this is the lore of the USL coming out. I think MLS is all in on Leagues Cup and I get it, but I still really value what the Open Cup means.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm very curious and I can't wait to go to the games that are nearby. And if you live near an Open Cup game that's coming in the schedule, then I highly encourage everybody to go check that out. And I know Jesse's not in the country, but if he comes back, we're going to make him do it. Chuck, you got to go to your local one as well. Maybe we'll take
Vermont Green. Okay, Rhode Island.
You got it.
Rhode
Island. I got squads.
Reds
fine.
Too.
I got plenty of squads.
I got plenty of squads around me.
All right, we're gonna take our next break here. Call It What You Want. When we come back, more of the good stuff.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back to your favorite part of the show, Americans Abroad and where they're playing. We're not going to be doing reviewing. We're doing some previewing, some notable upcoming fixtures. Cagliari is hosting Juventus on the Golazo Network. That's happening on Friday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern is the kickoff. Weston McKennie, Timo Weah, please play. That would be nice to see both of you. Then on Saturday, Celta Vigo hosting Las Palmas in La Liga. That is for a relegation or trying to get out of a relegation spot. That is kicking off at 8 a.m. Eastern. Sunday, big ones coming up. Coventry City, Haji Wrights, taking on Manchester United, FA Cup semifinals from Wembley, 10:30 a.m. Eastern kickoff. Make sure you check that one out. Haji most likely going to get the start. Stade Brest taking on or hosting AS Monaco. Fulham Balogun, will he start? Will he come off the bench? Will he not play at all? We'll have to wait and see. That's on Sunday as well. And then Monday, the big one, Serie A, the Milan Derby, AC Milan and Inter Milan from the San Siro. That's on Paramount Plus, 2:45 p.m. Eastern. We talked about it a little bit earlier with regard to Eunice and Christian. But Chuck, I'm coming to you first. Which game are you looking forward to the most for this upcoming weekend?
Come on, Jim. Nottingham Forest traveling to Everton. We had Gio Reyna get his first start, his first assist off a corner kick. This is massive. Hopefully, we all believe he's earned an opportunity to get another start. This is relegation battle written all over it. We're talking about importance. This is a massive match. And if he starts, that really shows how much he's grown in a short amount of time under Nuno Espirito Santo, that he can be trusted in this type of match. So really looking forward to seeing this match and hopefully whether he starts or he doesn't start, that he has a considerable impact in the match.
I mean, Charlie, that's why it's such a good loan. Like I said when he got loaned to Forest, I said, how fantastic.
Yes. That he gets at least, you know, 4 matches before the end of the year.
Four matches. That's all you need to do.
Watch him start every game the stretch, and then you'll change your mind.
And then they'll stay up. They obviously need to stay up to have a positive ending. Jesse, what are you going with?
I am going to be watching Juventus. And like you said, it'd be great to see both Weston and Timo start in this one, play in this one. So, yeah, I'll keep my eye on that against Cagliari. That's my
Italian. Well done.
Cagliari.
That was pretty good. Yes. You're in Italy.
Si.
All right. I'm surprised neither one of you took this. I'm going to go with the FA Cup semifinal. Coventry taking on Manchester United.
We left it for you, and then you criticize us for
I was going to say, we left it for you.
Wow. Good teammate,
Jimmy. That's very sweet.
Jeez. No appreciation.
Now, Coventry's only made the FA Cup final. Coventry's only made the FA Cup final once. It was in 1987. They ended up winning it that time. They're making their first return to Wembley since they were beaten in the playoff final by Luton last season. They had to score twice in stoppage time in the quarterfinals to defeat Wolves, whereas United had to beat Liverpool in an epic encounter. That was a crazy game. And so we'll see if they can carry on that momentum. But I'm very curious to see how Haji Wright plays in this one. His strike partner, Ellis Sims, has 5 FA Cup goals. Haji Wright scored in the last round against Wolves. So those two are feeling very good for themselves or about themselves against a Manchester United who their back four is not very good in general. But right now, no Varane, no Lindelof. I don't know if Maguire is going to play or not. They're just Lisandro Martinez. It's hard to know who's going to be healthy and ready to go. And that back line in general, not very good for Erik ten Hag, who if he gets knocked out in this competition, because they're currently 7th in the Premier League, it could be curtains for that guy as they look to hire somebody else. I don't know who else they're going to hire. Maybe Jesse Marsh wants to take that conversation as well. But Jesse, what are you expecting in this game, Coventry versus Manchester United?
Yeah, I think Man U will be a lot for Coventry. But it's a big moment at Wembley. And if Coventry can keep it tight and defend well and make it difficult on Man U, then just like against Wolves, right? Keep yourself in the game. The game against Wolves wasn't always pretty. They had to defend a lot. But if you give yourself a chance late in the match, anything can happen. So we'll see. If Man U gets off to a good start, I think it'll be hard for Coventry.
Okay, so Chuck, since they beat Wolves, Coventry have lost 3 out of 5, and they've dropped out of the top 6 in the championship. So it's looking like getting into the promotion playoff might not be in their future. Might have to start putting all their eggs in the FA Cup basket. What are your thoughts on this game? And do you think Coventry has enough to overcome Manchester United?
It would be something short of a miracle for them to beat Manchester United. They don't have a lot of quality. So, as Jesse said,
we're talking about Man United.
You're saying there's a chance.
I am saying there's a chance, but it'd be short of a miracle. What I am saying is with Manchester United's form right now, it's the perfect time to play at Manchester United in a semifinal. So the idea is you keep it close, tight lines, counterattack, the transition game, put pressure on when you can. You can move up the hot lines high up the field, see if Man United will try and play out and make a mistake here or two and you pounce on it. But other than that, you got to basically play a perfect game to beat Man United and capitalize on the limited chances that you do get. Let's say you get 6 opportunities, you got to make sure you put a few away. This isn't going to be a 1-0 game in my eyes. So I'm excited to see it too, because it's more of a test for Haji Wright. How does he carry himself in this game? How does he make an impact in this game? If he has to defend starting position, his first touch, just the ideas on the ball when you're under pressure, maybe your team's been chasing a lot. You finally win it back. It gets to Haji's foot. Can he hold it up? Can he find the next play? Is he quick on his feet? So I'm excited to see his progress, because I've been really impressed with Haji Wright and his progress thus far.
Yeah, and obviously coming off a good Nations League as well, where he was a important contributor. Now, 2 other games of note: Johnny Cardoso and Real Betis playing Valencia, which is a battle for the last European place in La Liga, and then Leonard Maloney and Heidenheim are playing RB Leipzig. Maloney with a string of good games since returning from injury. RB Leipzig holding on to that 4th spot in the Bundesliga, but they got Borussia Dortmund charging down their backs. I don't know if I said that right, but you guys know what I'm talking about. All right, we're going to take another break of Call What You Want. When we come back, we're talking about the 2025 Club World Cup. Who's in? Who's out? Lots to discuss. Yes, come back and join us.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the final stretch of Call It What You Want. I'm Jimmy alongside Jesse and Chuck, and we are going to talk about the 2025 Club World Cup. It's coming to American shores that summer, and 23 of the 32 teams have officially been entered into it. And one of the teams is one of Jesse's former clubs, RB Salzburg, now known as FC Salzburg. And the reason they got in, which I find to be absolutely awesome, is that Arsenal lost, Jesse, with Arsenal losing. They had to win the Champions League this season to qualify.
Well, this tournament is for big clubs. It's for big clubs, not Arsenal. Give me a break. So all the U.S. fans should consider themselves lucky to be able to go and watch a club and a team like FC Salzburg, which I always hated, by the way. They made us for European competition remove Red Bull from our name. So we were Red Bull Salzburg in Austria, but anytime we played in Europe, we became FC Salzburg.
Interesting.
But nonetheless, it's great to see all the big clubs of Europe in one tournament together.
Okay, so just so everybody knows, to give some context, and I love that Salzburg is considered one of the bigger clubs. Some of Europe's biggest clubs were ineligible from being granted that extra place that Arsenal was trying to get due to a two-club limit on teams from one country, unless more than two different clubs win the continental title, as is the case with Brazil. So that's why FC Salzburg got in there. Only ranked 18th in the performance table, they have featured in the group stages for the past 4 years and made the round of 16 in 2022. And in those past 4 years, you were in charge of the club for
twice,
one of those years.
Think, maybe, right?
Yeah. Two of the
maybe,
years. Yeah.
Maybe once, maybe twice. But yeah, we had some good teams. I think well
that's
earned.
Good teams.
Well done.
Well earned.
Sehr gut.
All right, so Chuck.
Sehr gut, Salzburg.
Chuck, I'm going to.
This is Salzburg.
Chuck, I'm going to name the 23 teams that are in so far, and who do you think is going to win? You got Chelsea, Manchester City, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, PSG, Inter Milan, FC Porto, Benfica, Borussia Dortmund, Juventus, Atletico Madrid, FC Salzburg, and then South America, Palmeiras, Flamengo, Fluminense, then the 2024 Copa Libertadores winner, and then two coefficient places. I don't know if either one of those are going to win. CONCACAF, we got Monterrey, Seattle Sounders, FC Lyon. There's the 2024 CONCACAF Champions Cup winners, so Columbus could sneak in there. And then there's the host slot. Who do you think is going to get the host slot?
Inter Miami.
There you go. I everybody agrees with that. From Africa.
What about Farolito? Farolito. El Farolito.
They needed to win the CONCACAF Champions Cup to make that happen. Yeah. Wydad Casablanca, also from Africa. The CAF Champions League winners yet to be determined and one coefficient place. Asia Al-Hilal is in. Your Wawa Red Diamonds are in. The 2024 AFC Champions League winners yet to be determined. One coefficient place. And then from Oceania, they get one. Auckland City, baby. That's I'm going to put my money on Auckland City to go on and do the business. But ultimately, though, how excited are you to have all these teams come to American shores, Chuck?
I'm really excited because, one, all these big clubs with incredible players, talented players, will be coming here to play in a real competition where they're trying to win, they're playing their best players, and for our youth in this country to get a chance to witness that is incredible. It's eye-opening. And so you're going to get a lot of young players in this country getting to watch the best of the best compete for a trophy. And then ideally you're starting to see different ideas and different techniques and different clubs and tactics. And I think it's just going to continue to grow the game in this country, both for young players and for coaches.
Now, Jesse, how are you feeling about this expanded version of the FIFA Club World Cup? And do you think MLS is not going to allow their teams to play because it's going to coexist with League's Cup?
I was thinking, or maybe, you know, do the La Liga teams not allow their teams to play or something like this? Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it's a bit of a made-up tournament. I agree with Charlie. It'll be great to have it on U.S. soil and for everybody to get to see the best clubs actually play in a competitive match and what the level is like, not just in friendlies in the summer, but when it actually matters. So, and then we'll see. It's potential that maybe some of the clubs varying on their level of excellence don't play their best teams early, or, you know, how they kind of work themselves into the tournament. We'll see how it all plays out. But I'm hopeful that since it's a tournament, since everyone's coming here, that you get to see the best teams, you get to see the best players, and you see them competing for a trophy. So that'll obviously be the hope.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. That's the end of the show. Call It What You Want is over. So thank you for your support as always. Enjoy the weekend. Good luck to Haji Wright in the FA Cup semifinals. And we'll see you next week. Later.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.